Everybody, welcome to Well, This Isn't Normal. Today I interviewed my friend Travis McElroy, who is a lovely human being. He is, with his brothers, the co-host of My Brother and Me. He has, oh my gosh, he does so many things between podcasts and live appearances and, oh man. We talk about going on a cruise and being on a cruise, being on the Joko cruise with various entertainers while finding out while there that people were going, I suppose, not into lockdown, but people were starting to do a version of sheltering in place and social distancing. It sounds rather disconcerting, but he's upbeat and he and his wife, Teresa, have a daughter named Bibi, and then they have Baby Dot, who's brand new. So you'll hear about that. And I'm just so glad that you're here with me today, with us virtually. And at the end of the podcast, I'll do a relaxation exercise with you to leave you on a maybe not a high note, but on a chill note. So stay tuned for that and get ready to get to know my friend Travis. Well, hey, well, this isn't normal listening audience, friends, family, strangers, pets. I'm talking to my friend, a famous person, Travis McElroy. Hello.
Hi. I'm not a famous. I'm famous in some circles. How about that?
Yes. I think that I call it FOMIS, which is, which is that, like, I say that maybe two to four times a year, I get recognized in the wild by somebody who is a fan, or an online follower, who's not at a show that I'm doing, mm-hmm. or who isn't at a book event that I'm doing, who just comes up and says, "Hey, just wanted to say I really appreciate your book. It helped me so much." Or, "Hi, I think I know you from Twitter. You're funny." And that happens 2 to 4 times a year. And this is where it happens, in one of the following places. And it's in a specific, like, I would say 3-block radius in any of these places: Los Angeles, Portland, Oregon, New York, New York, Austin, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, Atlanta, Georgia, Toronto, Canada. That's it. That's places.
I get it here in Cincinnati from time to time, and I really enjoy it because people will be like super. I mean, where did it happen last time? I think we were in Indianapolis at Gen Con, and like we had gone through, like we'd had dinner at this place, and at the end of it, the waiter was just like, "Thank Travis for Travis," and walked away, and that was like a joke for my brother and me, and I was like, "Oh, we'd gone through the whole meal. That was so. I had no idea. Hello, but that is my favorite. Like, and so now, in a good way, I'm always trying to be on my best behavior, never be an insufferable asshole, so that people aren't like, "Well, I thought Travis was cool," because like I don't know who knows me.
Yeah.
But my friend Brent put it a really great way one time. He's like, the level of famous that you are when you're like, as I like to say, internet famous, is like you're like the mayor of your town, mm-hmm. where everyone in your town knows who you are because you're the mayor. But then you go visit other people's towns and it's like, who is this? I have no idea who this is.
That's perfect. I love that because that's being FOMIS is so much. In my opinion, FOMIS is better than famous because FOMIS puts a check on your behavior because you don't know if somebody is, you know, somebody who is famous can reliably go out in the world and know people are going to know who they are. Somebody who's FOMIS, like when I'm walking down the street, I get looks sometimes
that are very specific, and I know what it is now. These are not people who, this doesn't happen a lot, but it happens once in a while. And these are people who don't come up to me. It's a, oh, I know you from Instagram or Twitter look. And it's very specific. And it's something that can be experienced by anyone who has Twitter or Instagram friends who they don't know personally. For example, if you're in a small town and you are Facebook friends with your cousin's cousin, and you've never met them in person for some reason, and you're like at a PTA meeting and they're looking at you funny, like, what do I? That's it. That's the deal. Many people now in the era of social media have experienced this because it's a friend of a friend of a friend, or it's somebody from high school who doesn't quite remember if they ever talked to you or not, or something like that. And so that look I am vastly more familiar with, and I get it now because I used to not know how to interpret it, and now I know what it is because once in a while, one of those people will actually come up to me, and it's always the same thing.
Well, I had to get more careful about it because, a lot of my audience is very wonderfully, I'm trying to think of the right way.
They're not neurotypical. I also have of an audience that has a lot of folks who deal with different aspects of mental health issues, and I'm not conflating not being neurotypical about that, but it's like we talk very openly about various issues and things that we ourselves have dealt with. So
partly that, right? I think, but like it's also just like they're very shy. And like, I get a very high level of respectful sometime to a degree that I, Travis McRae, know I do not deserve. But I will sometimes see people and they're like looking at me like they've just seen like a tiger's in the room with them.
Yes.
And they're like, but they're also kind of happy to see that tiger. And so like, I used to say like, oh, and I would think like, oh, they're being too polite. And I would say like, oh, would you like, you know, hi, like, would you like me to sign something? Would you like a photo? And one time I said, like, would you like a photo? And they're like, I have no idea who you are. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
I
guess they were just checking me out or something. I don't know. They were staring at me. And I was like, oh, did you want a photo? And they're like, no.
They're like, I want to fuck you. And you were like,
okay, bye.
I've seen people look at you that way, though, because you have, because of my brother and me, your podcast and your 18,000 other podcasts and projects and things that you do, you have like a much wider audience than many of us in this world do. You do have like, there's a real genuine intimacy to the experience, I think, being a podcast listener and somebody who listens to you and your brothers and your dad feels like they are like the favored nation status as like the local neighborhood kid who gets to hang out with you.
Right.
And it's wonderful. It's really wonderful. But it does create something, you know, when you can listen to somebody in the bathtub, in bed, in the car, like it creates very sort of intimate relationship that then people have to negotiate in the real world, which can be very confusing for both sides.
And not only that, but like I can surprise people in a way that like if you see Chris Evans coming down the street, you're like from a mile away. Like I one time walked into the Javits Center at New York Comic Con at the same time as Mark Ruffalo. And there was like no denying that that's Mark Ruffalo.
Right.
Like you see Mark Ruffalo, I'm like, that's clearly Mark Ruffalo. There is no like, could it be? You're like, that's definitely Mark Ruffalo. But like, there's a good amount of people who have no idea what I look like, even now, even a decade into doing this. Like, and so they just hear my voice over and over again. So like, I'll be sitting 3 feet away from somebody at like a convention, and then I'll say like, so what do you guys want to do? And I'll see a head like whip around, and they're like, huh! And then suddenly then they get nervous. And I'm like, oh, you weren't ready for me to be a real person that really existed 3 feet away from you.
You're three dimensional. And also I think that as a listener of podcasts and radio and audiobooks, I listen to a lot of audiobooks. It is an experience where as a listener, I'm co-creating it, even though obviously the author or the speaker or whatever is in the driver's seat. I'm in a sense co-creating the experience for myself because I have to envision what they look like, what their inflections are, what they were wearing that day, what their body language is like. So sometimes when you meet people, it matches up exactly to your expectations, which is like Marin, for example. Marin is exactly what you expect. Yeah. And I love that. He is himself and that's wonderful. And then other people are very different. Like I remember I interviewed Sarah Silverman and I knew because we have many mutual friends, I knew that she's a kind, and loving person who's not on all the time. Of course, and I know plenty of comics, but I had never met her personally. And so in interviewing her, it was so lovely because while she gets sort of tagged as this very brash, dirty figure, who's also very thoughtful and I think has evolved a lot, it was really nice to get to sit and see the person behind that. And I remember Margaret Cho as well, the first time I met Margaret. And really, you know, she's such a lovely person. Who somebody is when they're performing is not who they are in real life. And we know that. We know that. But when you actually see it, it's interesting.
Well, I think that, you know, you talk about like evolved people and stuff. Like, that's a thing that I'm very jealous of, because like there are very few people in this world that I am not to some degree on with all the time. Like right now, the only person I am consistently not on with is like Teresa, where like my wife, one of the reasons I really love her is that like I'm very, very comfortable being boring around her in a way that I'm not around basically anybody else, because like I trust that she honestly does love me and that I don't need to like make her laugh to win her. In fact, I tried for many years to make my wife laugh consistently and realized one day that I should stop, because she finds me wonderful and she thinks I'm funny, but she sets a high bar of comedy and I appreciate that about her. She is not an easy laugh. But like that's a thing for me of like I used to, you know, this time as we are all kind of locking ourselves in for safety, as we should. I've been thinking a lot about like introversion versus like extroversion. And for a long, long time, I thought I was an extrovert. And then like in the last like year or two, I've realized that I'm actually just like an introvert that really likes to perform. Because, like, I don't like being in the middle of big crowds. I don't like going to parties where I don't know people. I don't like, like, small talk with people I don't know. I like being the center of attention. And I like, you know, holding court while I tell a funny story to a group of friends. I like a board game night with a group of friends. Like, I like standing on stage and performing in front of people and getting all the attention, whether that stage is, like, an actual stage or it's, like, you know, a table at a bar where everybody's listening to me tell a story or something. But I don't like the like, oh, a room full of new people who I get to meet. I will do that. Like I can go to a party, I can meet them, but that does not energize me in the way I used to think it did. Now, or maybe I've just changed over time. I don't know. But it's one of those things now where it's like, yeah, I went there and I will go and make new connections with people I don't know. But I mostly only do it now for like business reasons. Like, yes, I will go to some kind of fancy schmancy party where other creators are and I can meet them and make connections and stuff. But if somebody was like, hey, would you rather watch Frozen 2 for the 100th time tonight with BB and Baby Dot and Teresa, or go to a party? I would be like, oh, you know, honestly, I'm just gonna pick up a little more nuance from Frozen 2 tonight, I think.
Well, that's where we finally met in person, was at a Fancy Pants party, even though we had been in touch, and I had done a podcast with you and we had been in touch for years and friends on these internets. But it was at the Entertainment Weekly party at San Diego Comic-Con in 2019, which was so much fun and definitely was a situation where, you know, walking into this big fancy party on a rooftop. And granted, I was with my friend Kara, but I met her there. So I was even nervous going in without somebody with me. And that was the biggest party I've been to since I quit drinking. Yeah. So that was also interesting because I knew that my friends now and we had met before and become friendly online and stuff. My friends Courtney and Brandon, I knew we were going to be there, and I know Kara, and then I found out you were there, and I was excited about that. But and Jim Mule K. Smith was there, which was great. But I was like, what if I don't see them? Like, who will I talk to? And what if I only see? I got a very like cool kids club feeling, which is that, you know, comics who, when I was heavy in, to the extent that I was in stand-up, who were like way better than me and way more talented and who I admired and who I socialized with, but like looked up to, who were there. And I was like, oh, and then, you know, you have like tons of famous people. But when I was with you, somebody, I think we were looking for Lynn and somebody came up to us. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And they were super excited. And I was so excited. I get very excited. I'm a good cheerleader and supportive friend. Because I think I would be a really good publicist. But like,
I think you would be too. Yes.
I would love it. But you know what? I love things like this more. I love getting to have conversations and write and stuff. But like, I was so thrilled. Like, I get genuinely thrilled. And I'm like, this person is excited about my friend, even though I know people are excited about my friend. Like, this person is.
Oh, but that, dude, the first San Francisco Sketchfest I went to, it was Justin and Griffin and I, and we did like a live show the night before. We flew out the next morning to do our show that night and then fly out the next morning. So I was like only in San Francisco for like 23 hours. And that the night we were there was like the official like Sketchfest every performer's invited party. Mm-hmm. And it was like wall to wall people in this space. And like to like my left is like Dave Foley talking to like John Cho, and over here is like the entire cast of like Broken Lizard, and over here is like Steven Weber talking to somebody, and like
Weber, also a guest on this podcast.
I got to meet him that night at the later party, but like I'm surrounded by like all these, to me, like comedy like legend. This was like 2014, I think. And so like this was like when I'd first just moved to LA, and I still had like zero confidence in myself. Is like, I'm an actual performer, I'm an actual comedian that deserves to be in this place. And so like I was like losing my mind. I was like, I have to leave, I should not be here. And somebody came up and said, I just have to tell you, like, I'm a big fan of your, and it was like everything to me. Like, it was like they felt bad. They were like, I'm sorry to bother you. And I was like, I cannot tell you how much it means to me right now in this moment that you recognize me. Like, I was about to leave, and I stayed and ended up having a great time and making a whole bunch of new friends. But like that person saying like, I am a fan of your work, was like, thank you for making me feel like I belong here and that I'm supposed to be here. I was like crumbling, and like, this was amazing to me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think that's sort of like that new kid in school thing, or that feeling, or that fear of rejection it's so primal, and it's perhaps even exacerbated when we begin to get recognition for things, because there's always somebody. My dad, I think, said that his parents said to him, like, there's always going to be somebody who's smarter than you, who's richer than you, who's better looking than you, and who's more popular than you. And there's always going to be people who are less those things. So if you, they didn't say it in these exact words, but like, so if you base your life on that, like, hierarchy, you're going to be unhappy. So get that out of the way and just do you. I mean, they didn't say it like that, but that's what they meant. And I think that's really instructive, and I have to remind myself of that sometimes. I think, you know, at a baby shower, at a wedding shower, at anywhere where I don't really know people, you sort of see, I think it's instinctive to identify kind of the power player in the room at the Girl Scout meeting. And so that it's not nothing. I wanted to ask you, I'm sorry to pivot.
No, please.
Didn't mean to cut you off, but I am very curious about what it was like being on a cruise, which is my nightmare anyway. But being on a cruise.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, I would. being on a cruise while this, the coronavirus stuff really started to hit and people started getting, I guess, I don't know if we were getting shelter. We didn't have shelter in place orders yet, but we definitely had gatherings minimized before you guys got off the Joko cruise.
Yeah.
So what was that like? Like, to what extent?
I will tell you in one second, but I do want to know, just real quick, why would it be your nightmare?
Oh, I don't like boats. I don't like seafaring in general, although I certainly enjoy songs about seafaring.
Well, yes, of course.
Yeah,
who doesn't? Who doesn't love a good shanty, Sarah?
I'm not going to reject the Decemberists or the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which was not on the sea. But hey, yeah, I don't like a boat. I get nauseous. I throw up going to see Castaway.
Oh, wow.
Yep, puked. Okay. I get very motion sick at motion pictures.
I've never gotten seasick in my lot. It is just not every, like, there was one really bad night, the first night of the cruise, where like everybody, like Paul and Storm and like Amy, like people who had been on the cruise for years and years, are like, this is the worst it's ever been. And I didn't feel a thing.
I also don't like the idea of being in that enclosed space with humans.
Oh, okay.
And it's not a germ thing. It's
crowd thing?
Yeah, some of it is agoraphobia related, yeah. Really. It's not a claustrophobia thing. So it's not the idea of being enclosed exactly. It's the crowd thing. Yeah, it's not even about the boat sinking. It's just like, oh, Jesus Christ, I got to deal with this guy at the buffet again. Come on.
I will say, for anyone listening, Sarah is wrong, and it is wonderful, and I'm a big fan. She's allowed to... I'm not wrong. Excuse me, Sarah. Your experience is completely valid, and the way that you feel is completely valid.
Interesting.
But the Joko Cruise is an absolute blast, and I love it very much.
Well, interesting.
But your experience... You're valid. Let me validate you for a moment. Okay.
I know everybody has fun. Neil, this is such a name drop, but Neil Gaiman was like, it happened on Twitter, so I feel fine. He was like, no, you would love the Joko Cruise. And I was like, I wasn't even talking about the Joko Cruise. I was like, oh my fucking, I was thinking it. I was like, oh, my fucking friends are on this fucking cruise. And then I was like, I don't want to be on a cruise ever. It's terrifying. And Neil was like, oh, but you know what you'd love? The Joko Cruise. Paul and Storm can tell you about it. And I was like, no.
It is great. I will say, and the nice thing is I was worried the first time I went that I would be like, get in the middle of, like, I'd be, you know, on one of the at sea days and in the middle of the ocean and be like, oh, now I'm freaking out. But I was fine. But to answer your question way, way back, the thing is when we got on the boat, there was a very much like the prevailing thing was like, I think everyone's kind of overreacting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yes, this is bad, but maybe it's just like flu bad and it's fine. And then while we were actually on the ship, the cruise line like instituted all of these like cleanliness procedures that were very appreciated. Like no one could serve themselves from the buffet. Like it was fully staffed and like they put up like little barriers so that you had to have your food served by somebody like wearing gloves and a mask and stuff. And like they would like to walk into or out of any of the restaurants, they like sprayed your hands with like just with, you know, antibacterial hand sanitizer stuff. And like no one was really like getting sick on the cruise or anything like that. And the thing is like when you're out there, there is some cell service and there is some internet. And like, so it's not like we're completely disconnected. And you know, like we'd stop at ports and stuff where we would once again like get full cell service and stuff. But it is not like it is here on the mainland where you're like glued to your phone or sitting at your computer all day, where it's just like, you know, you spend a lot more time walking around, not even if you do have access to the internet, not looking. So like we weren't really getting like constant, at least I wasn't, most people I was talking to. So like when we got back, I remember like landing on Saturday or getting, you know, off the boat Saturday. And this was what, Saturday, the like 14th, I think, and finding out like all these things have been canceled. And I was like, what? And I called Teresa, who had not gone because our baby was only like 2.5 months and kids have to be 6 months old to go on the cruise. And I was like, this is so bonkers that they're canceling all this stuff. What an overreaction. And she was like, it's not. It's not an overreaction. And like she filled me in on like everything that had been happening over the week. And I was like, oh, shit. So it was like kind of just this perfect bridge between like we just missed all of the like the build up to it. So it took me like 2 days to like catch up on where everything was at. And so like everybody, when we first got back, everybody for like a couple of days was like, that must've been so scary being on the ship while this was happening. It's like, I had no idea. Like we joked about like, if we got if we were quarantined in port and not allowed to get off the boat, like who would we elect as president of the ship and how quickly would it turn into anarchy?
I don't think it would be Jonathan.
No, it would have been Sydney. It would have been Dr. Sydney Smurl McRoy is the answer that was pretty universal because she could keep a level head and she has medical knowledge. But like Jean Grey was talking about, like, I'm just going to take over this restaurant because there's like some weapons glued to the wall or whatever. And like, we were kind of joking about that. And then, like, we landed it, and they announced, like, I think it was the kind of thing, too, where everybody was, like, choosing to kind of distance themselves from the idea of it. Because, like, the morning we got back into port, back in Fort Lauderdale, the captain announced, like, we have been clear, given clearance to, like, disembark from the ship. And everyone cheered. And I think everyone was kind of surprised that they were cheering. Like, oh, maybe I was really worried about this. Maybe, like, I didn't realize how actually worried I was that I would not be allowed to get off the ship. And then we found out, like, right after we docked, that basically, like, every other cruise in the world was canceled for a while.
Yeah.
Ours was,
I don't think I DM'd you. It must have been Tybee, but, I didn't want to say, you know, while you were, guys were out there, I didn't want to be like, do you know if you're going to be able to, I was like, that's not going to help anybody. Right? So I'm not going to do that. But I was curious about it. Cause I was like, I don't know if they're going to be able to get off this fucking thing.
Like, it was weird, dude. And it was also this, like, because of that, we were disconnected. Like right after that. So basically we got back the 14th. I was supposed to fly to LA the 15th for a thing.
Yeah. We were going to hang out and go do it. Yeah, and I was like, I'm not doing an escape room. And everybody was like,
yeah. And so I was supposed to do that. And then I would have gotten back from that on the 18th. And then on the 21st, I was supposed to go to New York for a thing and come back from that the 25th. And then on April 1st, you were supposed to go on tour, a live show tour. And then like 2 weeks later, go on another live show tour. And like during that was like Max Fun Drive. And like all of that got canceled. So it was like suddenly I went from having like I was going to be home like 5 days out of the next 30 to nothing to do. And that I think is where my anxiety like ramped up, where it was like, oh, all of these things that I'd like planned on kind of swinging to one, cause that's like how I stay like, you know, stay not stir crazy is like, it's cause that's the thing. I work from home already. Right. So it's not like being in my home quarantine, what am I going to do? It's like if I am left without a regularly scheduled event coming up, I lose track of time. I have no context of like, when is it? What is happening? Like I need mile markers, right? To check off of like, I'm doing this. And then 2 weeks later, I'm doing this. And then 2 weeks later, I'm doing this. So that way I have an even schedule. And that kind of helps me work from home. Cause like, I'm not working towards weekends or breaks or anything like that. Right. So my mile markers are like, I have a convention. And then 3 weeks later, we're going on tour. And then 2 weeks later, I'm flying out to be interviewed for this thing. And all of that got canceled. Mm. And so it's like, suddenly like when, and also I should also say, all of that was paying work, which also sucks because I just had a baby. So there's that. But it was also like, when is the next thing happening? And everyone's like, oh, no idea. No idea when the next thing is happening. Could be, you know, middle of April. Could be July. Could be the fall. We don't know. Mm-hmm. And like, that is not where... I mean, I'm sure I'm not alone in this, but I do not like to be in that place where it's just like, I don't know when the next thing is. We'll just have to wait and see. I can't handle that.
Yeah. And
so it's weird to be feeling stir crazy in my own home where I work anyways. But it's like just this thing of, I don't know when the next like rock to leap to is.
I think it puts a lot of pressure on people. I think it puts pressure on relationships. I mean, needless to say, you also have a tiny baby who I haven't sent you a present for yet, and I feel bad about that.
That's okay. Your presence is present enough.
Oh, shut up. I'll come over there and long distance punch you in the face with baby toys.
That's but, fair.
Like, I've been in your house. It's a lovely home. You've got room. You've got a yard. These are good things. But, you know, it's like... being all cooped up is something that a lot of people can relate to. Certainly a loss of income is something too. So I'm wondering, like, what are you doing to kind of stay sane? What is helping you right now as you navigate this very weird time?
Well, I'm trying to, honestly, the thing is like baking is like something I like. It's very structured. I like being able to say like, and now it's done and look at this thing I have made. Mm-hmm. It also is then yummy treats to eat, which is nice. Spending as much time with my family as I can. And like BB and I have been hanging out a lot, which is nice. That's my 3.5-year-old, which is cool. I rearranged my entire home office to make some room. I'm spring cleaning, emptying out, you know, the nooks and crannies of boxes and stuff in rooms. Mostly, I'm just killing time. Thank God for Animal Crossing's New Horizon that just came out for Nintendo Switch. That helps a lot. If you don't know about the game, it is a game in which you basically have just moved to a new island and like you're setting up your home and other people's homes and like growing fruit and
going fishing. Oh, that's why people like it. Okay, yeah, I don't know anything about it, but now I understand why people like it so much. Because it's doing things you can't do right now.
Right. You can connect to other people's island, like friends. Like I go over to Justin and Griffin's islands and like other friends' islands and like visit their island and go to their house there and like trade stuff with them. Right. And it's like, and I've also been like using new apps and stuff. There's an app called Marco Polo that I have no idea if it's new or not, but.
I think it's like a few years old, like maybe 2 or 3. I don't know. That's the first time I heard about it was like 2 or 3 years ago.
But it lets you like send video messages like as texts. Where you're like, hey, how's it going? And then they send a video message back and vice versa. And like, that's a thing that's been making me very happy. And like, you know, it's I'm trying to find little things. Because the thing is like, I'm big on like rewarding myself, right? Where it's just like, I got all the things on my to-do list done today. Let's go out to eat, you know, that kind of thing. And like, I've lost that. Like, I can reward myself with stuff at home, but there is no like, let's go see a movie. Like, that's nothing.
You're and a so carrot person, not a stick person. That's how correct. I am as well. If you took you or I, I'm guessing, tell me if I'm correct here. If you said to us, Travis and Sarah, Trishkara, obviously the greatest human being of all time. You can,
and 12 feet tall.
Sorry, so tall. You can do fitness one of two ways. One, you can go on a 6-mile, fairly comfortable, but sometimes challenging a little bit hike. You'll have enough water and you'll get to see beautiful things and talk to your friends. And then if you complete that 6-mile hike, at the end of it, you get a wonderful meal at Little Dom's in Los Feliz or something versus, okay, so you have to go do a boot camp and some man is going to yell at you. Yep, hate it. Don't need it. No, don't need
it. I hate this idea. The idea of challenge. Mm-mm. Yeah, the idea of challenge to like improve yourself is terrible. I started working with a personal trainer right before this. I only got like 2 or 3 sessions in, but because like I need the encouragement and the accountability. This is the thing I've realized about myself, and I'm not really worried about weight gain. The thing is, once baby Dot was born, like I went to like pick up BB, and she's getting bigger. And at one point, I was carrying both of them. And I was like, "This is killing me. If I'm going to be able to wrangle 2 kids, I need to like make sure I'm staying in shape." But like,
oh yeah, and also for your mental health too,
right?
Yeah, totally.
And the personal trainer I was working with was very like chill. And if I was like, I don't think I can do another set of that, she's like, okay, well, let's try this. I'm like, great. And right next to me, like on the same schedule I was this woman working with this dude who was like yelling at her, like, what? You can't give up now. Come on. And I was like, oh, I hate that. And I'm only getting it secondhand. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate this idea of like challenging to do it. It's like, no, I'm voluntarily doing this. Please don't yell at me. Like, no, I'm not in prison. Don't yell at me. I can leave anytime.
I can deal if I, you know, I can deal with order and structure very well. If somebody's a hard ass, I can roll with that. I'm not a weak, that's not a sign of weakness to say that if I'm fucking paying you, you're going to be fucking nice to me. That's right. How I feel. If you're my boss and you yell at me, listen, I don't want that in a boss. I don't like that in a boss. If you're my overlord, if I'm in prison, I'll figure out how to play by the rules and I'll play by them until I don't have to anymore. And then, and meanwhile, I'll fantasize about destroying your entire life and stealing all your money. Like, that's normal, right? But like, if I'm paying you money, I don't get any pleasure or excitement. It hits 0 buttons in me for me to be like, oh, you're yelling at me. I love this. Like, no, get away from me. Go yell at somebody else who needs that. Yeah,
I don't. But I will say, I mean, not to say that it's all perfect, because the other side of this is because I am, as you said, a carrot person, it's really easy for me to be like, well, I went and worked out today, so I'm going to have a big piece of cake. Like, it's really easy for me to like cancel out that kind of shit, where it's like hard for me to be like, you know, it's like, oh, I got all my work done yesterday. I'll take the day off today. Like, it's hard for me to achieve consistency because of how proud I am of myself for doing things.
Yeah, I understand what you mean too. You're like, I did it. No, it's time for pie forever.
Right.
Well, listen, if you want to do, I mean, we can figure this out, but if you want to do like some sort of a hot dork fitness thing agreement, not a challenge, because we're hot dorks and all our friends are hot dorks. of some kind, just let me know, because I need the motivation to like get on my bicycle to nowhere in my living room for 15 to 30 minutes.
We'll figure it out. You get that Peloton?
Yep. I got that Peloton.
You got that Peloton?
I got that Peloton. I pay $64 a month for it until the end of time.
That's That's so you can just look at it sometimes?
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. I used to ride it. By used to, I mean like a few months ago. And then I was like, I'm going to go do other things. And so, but I need to get back on it because I genuinely enjoy it every fucking time. That's the
thing. I know, right?
It's enjoyable.
I have a nice flat neighborhood that I have walked. I live in a cul-de-sac and I can walk from like one end to the other. And it's like 2 miles back out to the main road and back. And I love it. And it's been like 3 weeks since I've done it.
Yep.
Maybe more.
We're going to figure this one out. I'm proud of us already for what we're going to do and all the cake we're going to
eat. We deserve a reward.
We deserve a reward for even thinking about exercising. This is fabulous. Well, tell me this. Where can humans go to learn more about you?
They can go, probably the best way is like follow me on Twitter at Travis McElroy, or you can go to McElroy.family to see all the McElroy podcasts. When is this going to be up? Do you know?
Let's see. I'm going to look at my schedule right now that we're chatting about this. And I will tell you when this is scheduled to go up. And let's see. So your episode of Well, This Isn't Normal. Da-da-da. Let's see. Is when would you like it to go up? When would be good
before,
for you?
Before Friday, possibly?
Yeah, we can do before Friday.
Excellent.
Let's do Thursday.
Perfect. So if someone is listening to this before Friday, April 3rd, I am going to be hosting a live stream show Friday night, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern time. You know, because you've been there before. I do a show called the Cincinnati Underground Society Show here in Cincinnati, where we invite out surprise guests. And it is, you know, usually not recorded, not videoed, nothing.
Mm-hmm. It's secret very society. Secret. Mm-hmm. You can't talk about
so
it.
So secret. So very secret. Well, we had to cancel our April one. So instead, we are doing a live stream of it. We're going to have, I have like 10 or more guests lined up. It's going to be amazing. And tickets are $5. And we are donating the proceeds to a charity that is getting equipment and supplies for healthcare workers responding to COVID-19. Your $5 is going to go to a great cause. And you can get tickets to that at bit.ly/cusslive, CUSSLIVE. And like I said, it's going to be Friday the 3rd, from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern time. We are going to have it, if you're not able to make that time, but you still want to buy a ticket, we are going to video it, and it will be available to watch for 1 week after that, and then it will disappear forever. So if you want to watch it one more time, bit.ly/CUSSLIVE, get tickets, watch a great show, and support a good cause.
It's like the iHeartRadio Living Room concert on Fox, but for hot dorks.
Be hot for dorks. Yes, like a secret society for hot dorks.
Secret society for hot dorks, which I've never been to or performed at ever, or gone to Cincinnati and enjoyed myself so much in the Over the Rhine neighborhood, as well as other parts of that fair city. I wouldn't know what it's like. Hey, guess what? I really like Cincinnati, by the way. Shout out to the good people of Cincinnati. What a lovely, cool, interesting, diverse, weird city that I would love to go back to for any reason. And if I do, we should you know, maybe hang out and I could meet Baby Dot, who I believe will be called Baby Dot until she's like 16 and protests.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
She's going to be so mad.
I would be so angry at you if you came to Cincinnati and we didn't hang out. Like,
what
that
if
would be...
I did and I was just like, yeah, I was in Cincy, but like, I was really busy.
That would just really bake my noodle.
Which I understand if you come to LA and we don't hang out because it's super busy and it's also like coming to a corporate campus in a sense because it's work. So I always get that. And that's always how I felt when I lived in New York City as well. When friends came through, it was like, no big deal. Like, it's such a pain in the ass to get around. When friends come to town and are like, I'm staying in, if it's normal times, and they're like, I'm staying in Santa Monica, I want to hang out at 5 p.m. on a weekday. I'm like, absolutely not. I'll see you the next time I'm in Paris. Like, what? No, I'm not going to schlep 90 minutes, 2 hours. I don't think so. But yes, I will descend upon you once again. And please give my love to Teresa and to your small offspring who will be like, who? Except for baby Dot, will be like, I'm a baby.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for hanging out, Travis.
Thank you.
You're lovely. It's very wonderful to be your friend and also to have you as a guest on this podcast.
Same.
Well, that was my friend Travis McElroy, and I do hope you'll get to know him better online and enjoy his stuff. Now, you may be able to hear the sounds of cars going by, because even though we have just drastically reduced the amount of traffic on the road in Los Angeles, I still do live relatively near a busy thoroughfare. And it is technically rush hour because I'm recording this at about 5:10 a.m. Pacific. It's not rush hour. I mean, I always say that in Los Angeles, rush hour is like a catastrophic snowstorm that happens twice a day, every day. So you've got usually around 7:30 a.m. until 9:30 a.m., and then during the school year, you're looking at around 3:30 p.m. to around 7:30 p.m. And, you know, of course, in the middle of that is when it peaks. And at that point, you may just be in a standstill for many an hour. Not really many, and probably, you know, I don't know. Oh, traffic. Oh, the days. Remember those days? Well, I wonder what kind of noises you have to deal with in your house. Maybe you have to deal with kids yelling, somebody playing the TV too loud, neighbors going back and forth. Maybe it feels really quiet because you are relatively isolated and live in a rural area or a suburban area where there isn't that much activity on the streets. But listening to sounds is one way that we can practice patience, or practice presence. And I suppose it doesn't necessarily mean focusing on the sounds. What I'm talking about is just allowing them. So for example, if you take a deep breath in, really letting it fill your belly and hold for just a moment, and then slowly let it out through your mouth. That'll start to get you relaxed. Oh, hi, Polly. For this exercise, breathe in again. And slowly exhale. Okay. And keep doing that at a slower pace. And listen to the sounds all around you. Just kind of allow them into your space, because you can't fucking do anything about it. And yes, I will curse and drop F-bombs while engaging in relaxation. Why not? It's very Jersey of me. Inhale again. And exhale again. Now you can listen, and if you want to, you can attach a name to the sound. But you don't have to go into, why is this sound happening? I'm so mad. I wish it were quiet. I wish I were on a mountaintop in farthest Shangri-La. You just listen. You kind of note it. Listen. And say, think to yourself. Car sounds. It might sound like a toddler. That's okay. I hear distant car sounds. I hear my cat breathing. That's a truck in the distance on the freeway. And that's what I hear right now, and that's okay. Breathe in. And breathe out. This practice of allowing the sounds to happen without trying to fight them or getting super angry. Just, okay, that's a car. All right, that's my neighbor. Okay, that's somebody hammering for God knows what reason. This practice is a good thing. It is the practice of not fighting reality, but identifying it, naming what is coming up, and then letting it go. And you can name something and let it go a gazillion times a day if you need to. Yesterday I was sad about something, about a disagreement. So instead of doing what I would have done years ago, and perhaps not that long ago, but years, I will say, multiple years ago, is I would have thought, work, go do something. Don't feel these feelings because they're stupid. Feel the sadness arising, but that's dumb. Why is that happening? Well, it doesn't matter why it's happening. It's happening. It's there. And me saying, oh, it's dumb to feel so anxious, or it's dumb to feel so depressed, or, well, why am I crying over this? Doesn't change the fact that I'm upset. And if I squish that upset down, if I hide it away somewhere, I'm going to get ill somehow. I'm not talking about contracting a virus. That's not the way that works. Let's live in science. I'm saying that I may develop irritable bowel syndrome, that I may develop a headache, that I may have a panic attack. Stuffing down feelings doesn't make them go away. So this practice that we're doing with sounds, with noises, is an exercise in identifying, acknowledging, and letting go what is there without attaching a moral judgment to it. So let's breathe in again. And let's breathe out. I wish you the best today. I wish you peace in moments. If you manage to get through the whole day feeling peaceful, that's great. I wish you love. I wish you relaxation. Again, if it's just in moments, that's how life goes. That makes sense. Congrats, you're human. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. You can support at patreon.com/Sarah Benincasa. Thank you to my guest, Travis McElroy. And thank you to all the Patreon supporters. Please subscribe to this podcast. Please rate the podcast, and please write positive reviews if you like the podcast. If you don't, go listen to a different podcast. That's all right. Let's do one more deep breath. Thank you. like you, everybody. Take good care. I'll talk to you soon.